Woof, woof, woof. Welcome to the Non-Chasers. Another little trip down memory lane today. Today we speak through, we dig up old interviews with Peter Lagogiani, one of my favourites, Cal Greeno. We talked all things Plugger Lockett and Matty Clark during the time when Catch the Thief was running rampant. The first one we're going to kick off with is Peter Lagogiani after winning the $1 million chase with Handsome Prince and a bit of his backstory about his history. Check it out. And now we've just plucked him straight away and gone, hey, mate, just come on to the award-winning show, The Non-Chasers. Peter Lagogiani, trainer of Handsome Prince. Welcome to The Non-Chasers, mate.
Cheers, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, mate, first of all, how's the week been? Little Birdie tells me you were celebrating at Everest Day on Saturday. Are these rumours true?
Mate, not for me, no. We come home and it was business as usual. I think Shaquille Latimer, the owner, I think he celebrated Saturday, Sunday and Monday. So he's still like, hey, we don't know. We haven't made contact yet, but yeah, he's still partying.
Oh, excellent. Well, congratulations. Massive win. How did you celebrate and have you got any plans for big spend on anything in particular after the windfall?
Mate, the wife takes care of the big spend thing, mate. Not me. So, mate, look, it's pretty subdued. You know, we had a bit of a barbie on Sunday and as we do, we love have a barbie and a couple of beers with a few close friends and family and, look, mate, it was still business as usual. We got dogs to do and we're running a property. You know, we've got about 26 dogs on the property. So, you know, look, our celebration will come in the next couple of weeks. You know, we'll sit down and plan it and invite the people that you know, are close to us and have a big bash. And we love spending time here at home, mate, around the pool. And, yeah, so, mate, it's, you know, I'd love to say that I'm going to take a round trip, you know, a trip around the world or something like that and spend the money wisely and... that wouldn't be too wise, but nah, look, it is what it is. We're still greyhound trainers, you know, at heart, so we got a job to do.
Peter, they've only run the bloody thing three times and you've won it twice. Are they going to rename it the Lagogiani Chase or are they at least going to honor you and rename box 7 the Lagogiani box, because it's brought you a lot of luck.
Could you imagine the sponsorship deals, mate? You know, I'd have to be forking out some cash. No, we'll leave the sponsoring to you blokes. You're doing a fantastic job. Thank you very much. Mate, look, we still can't believe it. You know, we got sent out, you know, 4 weeks prior to the race. He was 101-1, Handsome Prince was, and, you know, one of the complete rank outsiders. And, you know, he came into the race, I think, $26, you know, 26-1. So... you know, there was a little bit of money for him. There was some specking for him. Probably you blokes, I think, you know, going on the name. So, look, mate, this is truly, truly what dreams are made of. You know, he was, you know, one of the rank outsiders in the race and probably boxed not to win the race. And, mate, just everything else that, you know, wasn't going to happen, happened. And mate, you know, it's all a dream from there.
And tell us about the emotions and the feeling of watching one of your dogs, as you say, not only dearly drawn in box 7, but got a really good jump and a really good start into that first bend. At what point did you think that the race was yours? Because you had a pretty handy one chasing you down the back straight.
Oh, certainly, yeah, we did. And you know, there was seven of them, you know, chasing me, you know, around, you know, the whole time. So... you know, look, when he come around, you know, the home bend and I saw him still 3-4 in front on you, I said, they're not going to chase him down now. You know, he's a terrific little chaser. You know, I've only known the dog for 6-7 weeks and you know, it took him a couple of weeks to settle in and, you know, but I know he splits. He's got fantastic splits. And so when I saw that, I said his back section would have been flying and it was, you know, and they weren't taking ground off him. And you look, you know, Burnborough probably wouldn't have run him down that night. You know, he was, you know, he was chasing that little dog. So yeah, mate, once he passed me, you know, there was a little bit of a cheering going on behind the boxes and all I can remember is he's jumping that, you know, fence and running down the straight and yeah. And then the emotion just hit, just knowing that we've done it again. And, you know, I think it was more emotional this time and, you know, you know, when we won it with Mystic Wright, you know, we were sent out favourite, and she was well boxed, and she had the credentials to win the race, where this bloke, you know, like I said, was badly boxed and probably, you know, the credentials to win it, but not as you know, as high as the other seven. So, yeah, so, mate, it was just, yeah, look, you know, words can't put into perspective, you know, the feelings and the emotions and all that. So, you know, throughout the whole week, you don't think about winning. You just plan yourself, you know, what you're doing and how we're going to attack this and how the dog's going to, you know, overcome the difficulties to win it. You know, not at one stage did I think of myself on the dice, you know, carrying, you know, the trophy. I thought of myself on the dice maybe carrying third place, but not the winner.
Peter, you said it there how you're standing behind the boxes, and when they ran around to pull into the home straight, you let off a little yelp. Imagine if Handsome Prince had just heard that and just stopped and turned his head to have a look at you.
Yeah, well, I was pretty subdued, that little yelp, let me tell you. I'll make sure of that. You know, I think the other seven trainers were hoping it was a bit loud to stop him, but no, mate, I'm pretty cautious about that. So I made sure he couldn't see me or hear me, you know. look, he's a terrific chaser. I don't think anything on the night would have stopped him from chasing that lure.
And Peter, can you talk us a little bit about your preparation going into the race with Handsome Prince? Did you treat that like any other week, or did you have a special plan in mind in terms of getting him ready for the big race?
Oh, look, you know, you think this through, you know, many, many weeks prior. You know, you set out a plan and you follow the plan, you know, and hope, you know, no injury, no illness comes about and ruins that plan. So, look, everything went well for the dog. You know, we had a 4-week stint that was almost perfect. He picked up a little injury in the heats, which we had to overcome for the semis, and come final night, he was pretty much right. So, you know, credit to the dog, you know, credit to our team here at home, Dad, my wife, you know, myself, and the kids, you know, we're all involved. You know, I learned from the previous years, from the previous year, you know, with Mystic Wright, don't change a thing, you know. So we kept it pretty simple, pretty blasé. Just let him do his thing at home. You know, we galloped him. He just had free gallops at home and just try to keep him on his toes. And, you know, it was all in the jump. We knew it was all in the jump. You know, to win these big races, you got to lead, you know, or be sitting second and be very, very, be stronger than the leader. So, you know, we knew that's where he had to be. So that's the sort of plan and the attack we took on and made it paid off.
Excellent. And what now for Handsome Prince? Have you got some of the big races in Melbourne lined up, or is he going to stay more local?
Yeah, look, I'm going to have a chat to Shaquille, and, you know, he's a terrific bloke and loves his dog. And you know, he's left it all up to me, and he's sort of said, look, you know, I only want the best for the dog. Put him in races that you know and you believe you can win, or be, you know, we just can't go in the race just because we're selected to go in the race, you know. He's still a very young, immature dog. You know, he's only, a veteran of 20 starts. So, you know, when you've been selected to go in the top races, you know, up against dogs that have had, you know, 80, 90 starts and 20, 30 wins, and they've been in group races the last, you know, 20, 30 starts, you know, they're very seasoned animals, where this bloke probably isn't yet. So it's something that Shaquille and I really got to think about in the next 24 hours. Yeah. You know, we've got to just look, we've got to manage him right and get the best out of him, you know. Absolutely. So we're just waiting to see. You know, we have been selected for the Top Gun in the I think the last 16, so I believe we'll be in the top 8, but look, it's a 50-50 chance whether I put him around there against them season campaigners.
Tell us a bit about the background. You used to train in Dubai.
Yeah, that's correct.
Not too many people have won $2 million chases, but you've trained prior in Dubai. How's that come about?
Well, just lucky, I guess. I did train for Dubai. Trained for the Prince of Dubai, you know, Sheikh Mohammed's son, who's famous for Godolphin racing. He was after a young trainer to go out there and start his team up. And he had a few international trainers go there, which didn't work out. And then he looked to Australia. How it began is Mark and Steve Ferrugia, who run Glengarry's Troll Track and Break It In facility, the education centre there. They actually went across to Dubai with Brian Barrington and built his track. It was a state-of-the-art facility. And then he asked them, you know, who can you recommend as a trainer? And they put some names on the board and he come down and handpicked us. He saw our, obviously, you know, what we achieved here in Australia, myself and my wife. And, you know, we pretty much were hand-selected by the Prince and to go over there, you know. And, mate, look, at first I couldn't believe it and I declined the offer. You know, silly me. You know, I thought, nah, this can't be right, you know. And we're doing too good here in Oz and we love Australia and, you know, born and bred in Redfern, mate. I didn't want to leave home, you know. Europe's not for me. It's great for a holiday, but not to live there. And of course, going over to Dubai, you know, Middle Eastern country where, you know, as you've heard, you know, as we know from the press, you know, it's not too good, you know, in the Middle East. So, you know, after several conversations with the Prince and his work and his, you know, his men, we took the offer on and mate went across and there was one word for it. Wow. You know, just wow, you know. Mate, I was treated like a prince. He left no stone unturned to make myself and my wife more than comfortable. You know, we had our own place, we had our own driver, we added exclusive restaurants. We felt like we were exclusive people. He treated us as one of his own. We trained his team of greyhounds and that went on to training his Salukis and then looking after his pets. So, you know, he had that faith in me, which was brilliant. I never did wrong by him. It was just, you know, as we called it, the sandbox. You know, we lived in the sandbox, you know, over there, you know, driving around, you know, seeing sand dunes and camels and palm trees and eating dates and all that, mate. It was all that and more, you know, and we bred him some litters over there and we won him all the races over there. So, you know, what can I say? It was just, yeah, it was an amazing experience. You know, I sat down with a couple of the best vets I reckon in the world, not only in Dubai. You know, I met his top trainers, you know, Mr. Sewell and Bin Sewell and all them and watched how they prepared their horses and their Arabians and all that and mate, just saw it all. I can write a book. I really can, guys. It was an amazing, amazing experience. And wow. I didn't want it to end. I really didn't want it to end. But, you know, all good things come to an end. And unfortunately, Dad got ill and we had to, you know, renegotiate our deal there and come home. So, we've got an open aeroplane ticket whenever we're ready to go back. He's prepared to take us back. And you know, that's a positive.
And does the Prince still send through a sneaky text after watching the Million Dollar Chase final to say, well done, Pete, we miss you, or has communications dropped?
No, mate, no. I'd get him weekly or fortnightly, and Ahmed, his right-hand man, sent us, you know, hearty congratulations again on winning it, and he still wants his koala. You know, the Prince wants a koala as a pet, so we're trying to get him a bloody koala, you know. he's an animal lover, mate, the Prince, and he adores animals. He really does. He's so affectionate, you know, being, you know, a Muslim, you know, whatever your faith and that, and how they say that they don't like animals and dogs and all that. Well, that's a lot of crap, let me tell you. He plays with his dogs. He runs around with them. They sleep in his bed, and he's got a range of animals there, mate. He loves them all. He feeds his giraffes. He's bears. He's, mate. And the one thing that's missing is a koala bear. And he said to me, Peter, Mr. Peter, he calls me. He says, Mr. Peter, he says, when can you get me my koala? I said, sir, it's coming. It's coming. So, guys, if you can help out there, please help out.
I don't know if the koalas do koala. Too well in the desert. But
yeah, well, you wouldn't believe it. He's planted gum trees and he's done his homework, and it's a certain eucalyptus. And he said, we've archived this and we've got the trees that they like to live in and eat, you know? And
wow.
So, yeah, he'll do it. Don't worry. He'll do it.
The Prince might The prince might change his mind once they start getting into breeding season, because those little bastards don't shut up during breeding season. So,
I don't know about setting him a koala, but you know, hopefully we can get him, we can acquire him a dog. And how funny it was that we acquired this dog, Handsome Prince. It just we the name just caught the eye. You know, we're just Handsome Prince. Jesus, we got to train that dog. You know, how can we not train this dog? And then I remember your mate saying, "Well, have a look at his form." I said, "Don't worry about the form. Just get the dog, mate. You know, it'll open a couple. You know, and it did. You know, it was an eye opener for everybody. And when the prince saw it, he loved the name, obviously, as he would. And but you know, Shaquille still reckons the dog was named after him. So you know, put a bit of makeup on him, he might be right.
fascinating story, Pete. Mate, we can't thank you enough for your time. From Dubai to winning $2 million chases, they're going to rename that seven box after you. It might be hard to squeeze Lagogiani into the box. It's quite a small space, but nonetheless, it's what you deserve, mate. Thank you so much for joining us on the Non-Chasers this evening, mate.
Guys, my pleasure, and thanks for your support. And we hope you can be there next year, and it's bigger and better than ever.
Welcome back to the Non-Chasers here for Sportsbet on SEN Track. Of course, the boys are all down watering themselves at the Bull Carnival, so we're taking another trip down memory lane. Next up, we've got the great interview he had with Cal Greeno, talking all things his superstar dogs. He mentions Plugger Locket as well in his foray into ownership, as well as the time when Tommy Shelby joined him for a brief stint. And that trainer is Cal Greeno, and he's on the line for us now. Cal, how are you doing, mate?
Yeah, very well, thanks.
Mate, we want to find out about this whole Davey Mitchell connection you've got. He comes onto the show every now and then and gives us a boom dog. Some of these boom dogs that have been Houdini Boy and Captain Dynamite. Tell us about how he got in touch with you and then how everything sort of spawned out of that.
Yeah, look, obviously David's in the Blue Tick Syndicate over in England and he wanted to get involved with Australian racing. So he contacted Sandown Greyhound Club basically through Mick Floyd, and then Mick asked me if I was interested in working in with these guys and maybe finding them a dog or two, and I said, yeah, why not? It sounds exciting. So that's how it basically started, and then we just had to source some dogs for him and then hope it worked out.
Mick Floyd, the buyer's advocate for greyhounds, has he sent you an invoice yet, Cal, or has he sent Davey Mitchell an invoice?
Yeah. Yeah, look, I just passed it through the solicitor. Said I'm not paying, Mick.
obviously, one of those dogs belonging to the Blue Tick Syndicate is Captain Dynamite, who was one of the biggest talking dogs this year. He's obviously had a few niggling injuries throughout the year, and he didn't seem to come off the track the best at the weekend there. Is there any update on how he's doing?
Look, I think he's been very lucky from the weekend. I actually thought watching the race that he'd broken down something chronic. What he did was he bounced off the rail and he twisted his leg and tore right up in the tendon that holds the leg together, and it bruised up really badly, and he was only lame for maybe 2 days. I went and got x-rays. There was no x-ray damage. The bruising has now disappeared and he's jumping out of his skin. So he won't be out for that long. It looked like a career-ending injury, but fortunately, it's not that bad. So he'll bounce back, hopefully give him a gallop at the weekend and then just get a bit more fitness into him and maybe get him up to 700 again.
Cal, while we're on the subject of injuries, just veering off the Dave Mitchell pathway there for a bit, a little birdie tells me that when the vets can't work out what's wrong with the dogs, that the trainers bring their dogs to you, and apparently you've got the gift of God in working out what's actually gone wrong with the dog. Is that true?
Yeah, there's a bit of truth in it. I've been doing it for quite a while, and I learned off probably the best dog checker I think that we've ever had. Unfortunately, that was Alex Haller. He passed away, and I've continued on because, yeah, it's an important part of the racing side of it. When the dogs are injured, we need to fix them. So that's basically how it works. And, yeah, I've been lucky enough to be able to remember a lot of the stuff he taught me.
Cal, obviously they have knowledge like that. You've had to be in the game a very long time. How did you actually originally get into greyhound racing?
Look, my father had dogs when I was probably 12 years old. He used to take them for a walk in those days, and probably couldn't wait to tried to play a bit of footy after that, but wasn't quite good enough to get in the big time. But then I couldn't wait to get back into the Dogs and purchase my own and started off when I was probably 20 years old. And I'm now 67, so 47 years of doing Dogs, about 30, 35 years professionally. So, yeah, it's been a long, long time.
You played footy, Kel. Is it true you played footy for the Hawthorn Reserves?
Look, I was at Hawthorn for quite a while, but I actually injured myself. I'm not Captain Dynamite.
career ender against the rail.
Yeah, look, I had a couple of bad ones and then went from Hawthorn tried at Melbourne there for a while, and then long story, didn't quite make it for whatever reason. But I decided that football wasn't my go then, and I'll get back into the Dogs.
Footy clubs though, Kel, great place to start syndications and selling Dogs. You would have got a few teammates and board members and coaches into a few.
Yeah, look, it's very easy to get guys involved in footy clubs. They generally like a bit of racing as well. So, yeah, had a number of guys over the years that have been involved with footy clubs and that. And, they're just great guys. They just like to get involved with a group of their mates and enjoy the spoils of winning and losing, but especially winning when they can have a few drinks to celebrate.
Now, probably none bigger when it comes to football royalty than the big fella from St Kilda, Plugger Lockett. What was it like working with Plugger as an owner? Because he doesn't tend to say a lot in the media these days.
Look, I actually found Tony to be one of the nicest guys I've ever met. Love the bloke. Stayed at his place many times up in Barrel. He's just an absolute great fella. Didn't like his criticism of the press. I think that's where when people were criticising him, I think that's where he sort of got a bit upset. But when you meet the guy and know the guy, he's just a lovable bloke. But absolute pleasure to train for. Never, ever annoyed me once. Was just in my corner every time. We were lucky enough to win a silver chief with him. And Tony really appreciated that. But, yeah, unfortunately he's out of the Dog game now.
The Dog, was it Renegade Chief that you won the Silver Chief with?
Yeah, that's the Dog. Yeah, it was going back a while. And, he was just a nice type of dog. And long story, but I was up at Tony's at the time racing another dog, and I saw these dogs galloping in the yard. Tony was rearing them up, and he said, "Oh, that poor dog can't keep up." And I said, "Well, we better pull him out and have a look at him, see what's wrong with him." And sure enough, he had a couple of injuries to stop him being able to run because he thought he was just no good. And anyway, he locked him up and basically fixed the injuries, and then that turned into Renegade Chief. So it's amazing how life happens sometimes. But, yeah, probably did him a favour, helping fix the dog, and then he gave me the dog to train. So that was good for me.
You've been in the game a long time. What are a couple of things that come to mind that have changed the most from when you started to the modern day? Obviously, prize money is a big one, and media attention in general. What are the couple of things that stand out to you, Kel?
Yeah, look, obviously the prize money has always, especially the last 20 or so years, has been unbelievable. So if you get a really good dog, you're obviously going to earn a lot of money. Along with that goes the pressure of making sure the dog tries to win or be competitive. And it's just basically the enjoyment of people that they get out of their dogs is probably more rewarding than anything else. Sometimes the monetary gains a second to that, because it's not a monetary gain. It's just making people happy. I think that's where I get my most enjoyment. But the other side of it is obviously with what happened a few years back with the greyhounds copping a fair bit of flack. Then we've had to change things here to make things probably a little bit harder for us, where welfare will come and check on you on a continual basis and make sure everything's up to date. But when you don't do anything wrong, you know, as far as that goes, which is the majority, do everything right and look and really care for their dogs, then I think we've come a long way in the public's eyes to sort of get a bit of, you know, credibility back, and that makes a big difference.
As always, Kel, it's usually one out of 1,000 that are doing the wrong thing that bring attention onto the other 999 participants, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
And Kel, you say it's not about monetary gain; it's about the enjoyment. When you got Big Plugger Lockett standing over your at the home straight, I think it certainly is about the enjoyment, because I don't think he'll be worried too much about what's going on.
No, look, I'll never forget the night we're up in Wentworth Park, and we'd sort of taken care of Cosmic Rumble for the week, and Darren McDonald came up on the final night, and you know, the dog won the Easter egg, and we also won, I think it was the Ambrosoli with a bitch called Cinder and Shelby. And I was in the at the catching pen with Tony, and I fair dinkum, he picked me up like I was a rag doll and bounced me up and down. He was that excited. And I think he didn't realise I was actually a person. I wasn't a rag doll, but he bounced me up and down like I weighed about 3 kilos.
Was that pre-diet? He's a little bit smaller now than what he used to be.
Yeah. Now he's an extremely fit man. He'd probably be able to throw me in the air for about 2 kilometres, but he just looks fearsome at the moment.
Was this pre or post that the pig on the MCG incident? Because he would have thought it might have been a greyhound.
The SCG, sorry.
Yeah, look, it was after that. And, that was way after his finishing days. And, yeah, that was... I don't know. He didn't say much about that sort of stuff. So, he just shrugs it off. He just basically ignores that those things happen.
Very good. And back to present day, Houdini boy, up and coming star amongst your ranks. How's he all going? He's had a little bit of a while in between runs now, but how's he going?
Look, he's unfortunately had a setback at just in a trial after the last race he had. Went down to Warrigal just to have a trial to keep him fit, because there was no racing that week for him. And when he hit the arm, it was a run-on lure type, which is most of our trials, and the dogs bite onto the squeaker at the end of the trial, and he's hit it with his throat and basically punctured his windpipe. Run half length off the record and then did that, run blistering time, and then... probably the next, I didn't realise till the next day I got him out, because I wasn't there trialling. Darren Pattinson works for us, and he took him down there, and, you know, he'd come back and he's, you know, pretty happy. The dog's gone really good. And the next day his neck had blown up, and then his head blew up, and then all his air bubbles were going into his skin. And I went to a couple of vets and they couldn't work it out. They just thought, look, I've got x-rays, I've got scans. We realised what had happened, that he'd actually just punctured his windpipe. And it's taken about 3 weeks to get over it totally, and he's now jumping out of his skin. I've just got to get him fit again. But obviously the Boltrice will be the target, hopefully we've got enough time to get him fit. But we just didn't need that setback. It meant we missed the Hume Cup and we missed the Top Gun Stayers. But these things happen in dog racing. We just got to cop it and you move on and fix it as fast as you can.
Yeah, we definitely want to see him back on his feet soon. I don't think the Boltrice will be the same race if he's not in it this year. Just another superstar dog who's just entered your kennel, Tommy Shelby. How's he coming along?
Yeah, Tommy's good. Really happy the way he's settled in. Gave him a look at the meadows the other day. Went really good. It's just a matter of working out the best plan in the next week to do what we've got to do. But knowing that we're in the Top Gun now means we can focus on that, and then hopefully the Melbourne Cup Series after that. But, look, he's an exciting dog whether he's up to beating these type of dogs is debatable. But we'll be doing our best. The dog come to me in brilliant condition, and it's just a matter of having a bit of luck with box draws and field, you know, what we actually, how we draw in that race will be crucial to our chances.
What draw would you actually prefer in the Top Gun? Because obviously the fields are out now, but we're just waiting on the box draw. What number would you like?
Look, to be honest, I'd probably like to be drawn box two with Simon Told Helen in one. So you just wouldn't want to be drawn on the immediate inside of Simon Told Helen when he takes off, because he's obviously the speed dog in the race and would lead any dog probably in the world. So when he takes off, he just takes off. So you don't want to get cut off by him. So I'd be thinking the best option then would be to track him through and hopefully, you know, be the dog that sits on him and hope that he collapses in the home straight. But he's such a great dog. You know, he's probably my favourite dog watching.
And how did you know it was? Did you know Steve was going to call you and ask you to take over Tommy Shelby in Victoria, Kel, or was it just completely out of the blue?
Out of the blue. Wow. Never had anything to do with Steve. Didn't know him. Just a lucky phone call, I guess. But yeah, look, I don't know how. Sometimes you get a bit of luck, and that sort of thing happens to you. But generally, it happens to someone else. But you know, you just got to take your luck when you can. And it's nice to get handed over a dog who's basically straight into a top gun. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited about it, and we're doing our best to make sure everything's right.
That's fascinating.
You get a few from Tassie come up to the mainland, Kel, so you must be well-considered in the greyhound community as a home away from home for dogs.
Look, I think the advantage we have is that we're probably the smallest kennel as far as numbers go. So people can send a dog to us and know they're going to get a lot of individual attention. Not that I'm saying the other guys wouldn't, but because we've only got 12 race dogs, we have four people here working. So the dogs get plenty of time and plenty of everything needs to be done will be done, instead of maybe a bigger kennel might struggle with doing all the basic little things.
Yeah, one person I am interested in that works for you, Cal, ex-English cricketers working in an Australian, like, come on, mate. I mean, that's just sacrilege, surely.
Yeah. Look, shouldn't have let him in. He should have had to play for Australia to get in.
This is Darren Patterson as well, is it?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, should have kept him out. But, nah, look, we made an exception this time, only because he's basically living with my daughter. So
I was going to say, you might have to do more than welcome him into the kennel. You might have to welcome him into the family one day.
Yeah, you never know. Look, Darren's like a machine. I've never seen a bloke work so hard. If he's actually not doing anything, he gets a bit bored with himself, so he'll just go and pick up a shovel and start digging. But
I love that. An industrious bowler, and is now taking Kel's dogs to and from the racetrack. I love that.
I've never seen a bloke work as hard as him. He just can't stop. He's like a machine. So he's actually out there doing something at the moment. I don't know what he's doing, but he's probably digging or raking.
He's building a little trail track out the back of the farm for him.
He probably is.
Oh, very good, Kel, mate. We appreciate your time. You keep, as you said, a very sort of quality versus quantity sized kennel. And, mate, the results speak for itself. So thank you very much for joining us on the Non-Chasers, and we hope we can speak to you again soon.
That's great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Welcome back to the Non-Chasers here on SEN Track for Sportsbet. We've chatted to Peter Lagogiani and Kel Grano. We're taking a trip down memory lane, digging up past interviews. Now we chat to Matty Clark, trainer of Catch the Thief, who was running rampant. Now, this interview is from about a year ago, so Catch the Thief's form hasn't quite been up to the standard since, but it's still a great interview, and we loved when old Matty Clark even slated the great Tommy Shelby. Matty Clark, welcome to the Non-Chasers. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good morning, boys.
Are you in Melbourne or are you in Perth at the moment?
No, well, I'm in Melbourne because the borders are closed, so I'm well and truly out here at Bryagalong, about 30 k's the other side of Sale, and my dog's a million miles away. But he's in his kennel this morning. I've had the call from the kennel, and he's primed and ready to go.
Yeah, a bit of a drive across the Nullarbor from Bryagalong. Let's talk Catch the Thief. You touched on it there. Is he raring to go? Do you think? Do you agree with the media that he's the hottest property in the land at the moment?
No, I don't really. Look, I'm well aware the dog's got a huge motor, and he's done a great job in Perth. And look, he'd done a great job before he went over to Perth. He won three in a row at Sandown. But the dog's yet to meet. You know, Tommy Shelby's their best dog over there. But I don't think their best over there is as good as our best over here. And reality says to me that he's got to beat the good dogs, or match it with the good dogs, Hooked on Scotch and Simon Told Helen. But look, I certainly believe he has got what it takes to match it with Simon Told Helen. I know one of the experts on the weekend said that there's not a dog in Australia that could go with Simon Told Helen. But I beg to differ. I think this dog can, but it's yet to be seen.
Just a nice little clip to our WA fans there, Matty. There's,
Peter O'Neill went like that.
No. I've got huge respect for the Western Australian people. Their dog, Tommy Shelby, is a fantastic pup. And, you know, look, yeah, I very nearly never sent him over there because they told me I wouldn't be able to beat this Tommy Shelby. And and Tommy Shelby's a fantastic dog over there. But, you know, he's been up for a while, and this dog, he's sort of coming back from being really crook. He got the canine coronavirus back when the launching pad was supposed to be on, and I did look him around a little bit, and he's just hitting his straps now, you know. And, yeah, look, I can't wait till he comes back, because we've got a nice program planned for him the next few months. And, you know, if it all comes to fruition, he shouldn't meet any of these really good dogs in Victoria until, you know, towards the Melbourne Cup, you know.
Always interested in the name and where the names come from. Your owner of this dog, Louis Cadillo, former police officer, or gets involved in shady undertakings?
Local security person.
Oh, there you go.
He runs a security business in the town, Roddy Security, and he's a big sponsor of the local club. And look, he spends a lot of money in the sport, and you know, it'd be fair to say he hasn't had a greyhound of this caliber in his lifetime. So it's good to see a fellow like him who's prepared to put his hand in his pocket, get the just rewards, you know. So we've got a lot of dogs here. We've probably got another 10, 12 dogs here coming through the ranks at the moment. And, yeah, they're all Louis. And this dog's certainly making it easier to pay for the next crop coming through.
Always great when someone puts money back into the sport. So just once again for Louis, because he's a good fella and he supports greyhounds, just give his business a plug once again.
It's Roddy Security, R-O-T-T-I, Security. And look, he's a fantastic fella. He works hard. He's on patrols during the night, and he doesn't even sleep during the day. He's a bit of a robot, old Louis. He never sleeps, always on the go. But he does a lot for the local community, and I can't pump his tyres up enough. Look, the AFL, they cut out the handball competition at the local supermarket and shopping centre, and Louis took it on board and does it himself every year now to help the local kids out, because there's not a lot for him to do. And he's that type of person, you know. He's a real community person, and he's got a heart of gold. And if anyone deserves it, Louis deserves this dog. So I'm just rapt to be part of it.
What a champion. Louis's got another dog that you train, Playlist, Little Brother to Catch the Thief.
Here we go. Here comes the angle. Maddie, every time we have a guest on, Shagger's first question is around the unraced or unseen or not yet proven dogs, always looking for the angle.
Oh, no, Playlist's been around. It's well accomplished. It's won 7 races from its 16 starts with a 29.84 at the Meadows. But it had no racing in May, resumed this week at Cranbourne with no luck. How's Playlist travelling at the moment, Matty?
Yeah, no, look, he is going really well. He got the virus as well, but knocked him round a great deal. And he'd had a lingering track leg problem, been knocking himself in the runs prior to spelling him. So we give him a big spell, and we got it all addressed. And his trials back have been super. And it's just unfortunate the other night that he got taken out by no fault of his own. But he's in at Sandown on Sunday, and at this stage we're going to run him. He appears okay, but I've just been monitoring him after that run. He did get stopped in his tracks in the back straight, and all going well. He'll run on Sunday, and look, he's believe it or not, 2 dogs out, he'd probably give Catch the Thief a run for his money, because he's a lot stronger. You know, Catch the Thief's got great mid-distance pace, and this dog is a lot stronger. So I think you'll see the best of him down the track over 500 and 600 metres.
Slightly off-topic question. Do you follow the footy, and who's your team?
Nice. Yeah.
Well, can I just say, I'll go for Richmond, and it's been a tough road. I'm 46, and I've got 2 boys that are in their 20s, and when they were younger, I had to buy the 1980 Grand Final DVD to show that Richmond were a good side and could win premierships. And now they're adults. They're enjoying the success. Probably Richmond's going better than ever, you know. So, but I don't know about last night. I fell asleep. It was that boring, the game. It's, both teams had their opportunities of winning it, and they couldn't. But, you know, you just don't know how good both teams are. You know, if that's as good as the competition's got, it was a fitting result.
It was like a tennis score, mate. 3-6, 3-6.
Yeah. Oh, nice little crisp
one. Well, you're just
there.
Waiting for one to just put the other one to the sword, you know, but they just they couldn't do it. But you just don't know how that 3 weeks off or, you know, the time off they've had has affected them, you know. Mm. It must fit. So getting a footy side ready in 3 weeks, you know, I just can't imagine how they could do it, you know.
Brigalong, is that how you say it, Matty? Where are you from?
Bri Agalong.
Bri Agalong. So you said about 50 k's from sale. What's the how'd you start the kennel there? What's the backstory behind the setting up camp there?
Yeah, well, there was a trainer here before me, Pud Jones, his name was, and he had all the Bryag dogs, Bryag Sally and Bryag this. And, mate, he was a really good trainer in his day.
Is
and
he a big fella?
He was in his, he was a big fella, big Pud, yeah. He's not so big these days. He's got health issues. But they were downsizing and trying to sell. And a lot of people told me I wouldn't be able to get the place compliant and up to scratch for the modern, what they require. But, look, I did. We bought it, and we could see we had a vision here, and we've, you know, gradually just replaced things as we've gone. And, oh, look, I wouldn't swap it. You know, I was just talking to Steve Shinners in Perth this morning. I was telling him, look, by the time you race in Melbourne, and if you've got beat or even however you've gone, you're thinking about your plan when you're coming home in the car. You know, 3 hours in the car, you get a bit of time to think, but you plan your day and you plan your week and you just dissect what's going on. And, yeah, well, pretty much the car's in the office, you know, so the driving doesn't worry me. Driving's just a fact of life, you know, so... It's to be able to do something that you love and be paid for it is just fantastic, and that's exactly what I'm doing at the moment, living the dream.
Well said. So talking about plans, what is the next step for Catch the Thief? I see the Brisbane Cup's coming up, so is that a possibility?
Look, no, he's going to go to Sydney. There's a classic race up there. I think it's called the Peter Mosman from memory, but it's in about 3 or 4 weeks' time. We'll go up and trial him in between. And then that pretty much rolls into the maturity, all going well. And I think Simon told Helen he's not eligible for the race in Sydney. He's too old. But we'll definitely meet him in the maturity. So I'm just trying to give the dog a good apprenticeship. You know, I don't want him to be meeting the best of the best at the moment, because while he might be as fast as them, you know, he's not mature enough yet to take on the elite in my eyes. And I just like to see dogs, you know, go through their grades and learn their craft against their own age group. And that's what we've got planned. There's a lot of races. I was only looking last night for the rest of the year. There's a lot of classic age races that he qualifies for. So I'll probably just keep him to that restricted class until, or hopefully, the Melbourne Cup. I know that, you know, there's a bit of hysteria at the moment. He's pre-post favourite for the Melbourne Cup, but I'm a realist. That's 6 months away, and that's the furthest thing from our mind at the moment. We just... To be honest, I just want to get tomorrow night's race over and done with and get him home Monday. The wife's been missing him immensely, and she's more excited about picking him up Monday than what the actual race is on Saturday night, I think. So,
and you did mention earlier you've got about 10 or 12 other dogs that Louis owns. How far off the track are they in terms of making their race debuts?
Yeah, well, we've just got some Blazing Bombers in the kennel, and you wouldn't believe it. Whatever, I bred the litter, and whatever Louis chooses is normally the best in the litter, just by chance. And he's got a couple of smart Blazing Bomber pups. I've just started pre-training. They're about 6 or 8 weeks off, maybe. And then we've got some Cosmic Rumbles down the back that he had a really good dog a while ago called Grande Fratello, who ran 34.20 at Sandown and unfortunately broke his hock. So he's got the next sort of them coming through, which look like being okay too. So, yeah, he certainly he buys well, and he's just taken to the breeding ranks. He's bred a litter of pups himself as well. So, yeah, he's sort of set up nicely to have a good 2 years, 3 years ahead of him. He's always got something coming on, Louis. So we've got pups at all ages, and that's the way we wanted it. You know, you see, you've always got something coming through.
I need Louis to choose some pups for us, I think.
Yeah, trust me, you do, because whatever he goes to choose, or there's been a couple that he wanted to buy of ours, but we didn't want to sell, but they're the ones that I want to keep, because if he liked them, they must be all right. So, yeah, all good.
Matty, it sounds like there are a couple of great Eastern Finches in the background there about to nibble your ear off. So,
good as gold.
Cheers, Matty, mate. We appreciate your time.
Cheers for that.
Good on you, Maddie.
We hope you enjoyed the trip down memory lane for the non-chasers. The boys will be back to normal transmission next week. But for now, if you are going to have a punt on anything Dish Lickers, do so responsibly. See you next time. Bye.